Good morning, everybody. We're going to get started. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Greg Cohn. I'm a doctor on staff here and one of the CME committee members, and I get the honor of introducing our speaker since Dr. Rosenthal's a little bit late this morning. But we're going to go informal, and I'm going to let Dr. Kessler-Reyes introduce herself. So without further ado, Dr. Kessler-Reyes.
I'll assume maybe most of you know me, but I'm Dr. Kessler-Reyes, pulmonary and critical care medicine. I work for Pulmonary and Sleep Associates of South Florida and Critical Care Services. Generally, I trained in Israel. I came back to New York. I did my internal medicine and residency training and fellowship in pulmonary. So I finished my internal medicine and fellowship training in pulmonary and critical care medicine at Winthrop Hospital in New York, and then I moved down to Florida, and I've worked the rest of the time here with this group. So good morning, and the topic today I wanted to talk about, really mostly vaping, but there's not exactly that much information to talk about vaping, but it was mostly about the pneumonitis and then concerns about smoking in general and then the health effects of using vaping products or basically putting anything that you shouldn't be in your lungs. So good morning, and let's get started. So just, you know, basic objectives. I have no disclosures. I have no conflicts. We're just going to talk about some basic respiratory physiology, which will be extremely brief, describe some hazards of tobacco, marijuana, and vaping, which are the three most popular products to inhale, describe the impacts on health expenditures and some epidemiology and statistics, and then discuss some pathologic conditions, mostly just around the diseases that are caused by using these products. So when we talk about respiratory physiology, like our normal, what is the purpose of our lungs, right? So we live on planet Earth. We need oxygen and air to breathe our lungs. The main purpose is to inspire air, a gas exchange, and then expel carbon dioxide. So we can't do that if the air is filled with toxins. So like if I showed any one of these pictures, like if you're in a major fire with lots or live in a place with lots of smog, or you like work in a coal mine, or you work with asbestos, or you just happen to be in New York at the time of the 9/11. So anytime you have significant bad air quality, inhaling products into your lungs that shouldn't be there, you have problems. The lungs don't like it. It causes disease. It causes inflammation. It causes airway edema. So anytime you have like fires, like when in California, you'll say that like there's a spike in reactive airways disease. There's also a spike in asthma cases. So anytime we inspire things that shouldn't be in our lungs, like from fire or smog, other things like that, or asbestos causes diseases that we know of. And then, hold on a second, sorry. And also, they've recorded that with climate change, with the increasing in temperature, there's increase in mold, there's increase in other things that are happening in the environment, which are also causing increase in asthma, increase in reactive airways, and increase in other diseases also. So we have yet to see like what the full effects of all of this will be in the future. And then we have tobacco. So here's a fun fact. If I could tell any one of you in this room right now, which we're all like so concerned about how much healthcare costs, if there was one thing you could do that would absolutely, without a doubt, prevent like over 500,000 preventable deaths a year, and all you had to do is do one thing, would you believe me? Would you do it? Yeah, you would think like, oh, sure. And it would be extremely cheap and it wouldn't be able to do anything. All you'd have to do is ban tobacco. There are 500,000 preventable deaths a year related to smoking tobacco. It's amazing to me, right? You think like, oh, like it's impossible. Like, how could that be? Like, why is it still legal? Like, why do we still have it on the, you know, obviously tobacco industry is very powerful. And, you know, and so like they have a really huge lobby, and we're never going to be that lucky to see that day that tobacco doesn't exist. However, you could reduce the disease burden by 40% if you eliminated smoking today, period. Stop smoking, you eliminate COPD, basically coronary artery disease, atherosclerotic heart disease, peripheral vascular disease, cancer, just to name a few. 42,000 secondhand smoke, 42,000 deaths per year are related to just secondhand smoke in itself also. So it's just a huge number, and it's just amazing to me that we still can't decide that tobacco is not really a great product and that we shouldn't even be using it. Did you know? So I was just saying, like, so tobacco causes a lot of cancer. Did you know that tobacco has been linked directly to causing every one of these cancers on this slide? So that's pretty much everybody in this room who practices medicine. Tobacco is going to affect, like, at least something that you do. And tobacco obviously causes a lot of disease directly related to all of these. And in cigarettes alone, there are over 7,000 toxic chemicals that are actually inside the tobacco, inside your cigarettes. I hope none of you are smoking, but you hope you won't by the end of the time that I finish this. So each one of these chemicals in itself is regulated by the government that it's to be like either illegal or known to cause harmful effects, like obviously lead, formaldehyde, arsenic, cadmium, ammonium, benzene, carbon monoxide, obviously. All of these toxic chemicals are inside cigarettes, and some of them are also inside the vaping products. So it, again, makes no sense to me that you would be it would be legal to put all of these toxic chemicals inside a product that you inhale into your lungs every time you smoke a cigarette. So, and obviously all of these things cause disease in themselves, and all mixed together cause harmful effects to us. And here's a little bit about history. So it's taken, I mean, I don't know, I used to think before it was like in pulmonary medicine that it was like, you know, like decades and decades ago. But really, it was in 1999 when US government basically sued Philip Morris. And it took 7 years to go through this trial. And basically to have in 2006, the tobacco industry was actually held accountable for fraudulently covering up the health risks associated with smoking and marketing their products to children. So they knew in 1950, which is before 1999, obviously, that for 60 years that they were killing people, knowingly putting in these products toxic chemicals that they knew that caused the bad health effects. And it's been 50-year ongoing effort to basically defraud the public. And do you know, here's a little fun fact, how many physicians in 1960 smoked?
A lot.
A lot. About 43% of physicians in 1960 smoked cigarettes. About another third of them didn't even believe that smoking was causing health effects. So it's taken 60 years to convince all of us, the health professionals, who are treating people who are smoking and causing these things to actually believe that these things are bad for us. 60 years to get to the place where we are today where we don't smoke inside rooms and we don't, you know, they have the labels on the tobacco cartons and things like that. 60 years. And within just, unfortunately, within the last 5 years, almost all of this has been reversed by the vaping crisis that we're having right now. It's amazing. Like, we've, like, erased a huge amount of time that we've, like, tried to spend to try to teach people that inhaling things are not a good thing for you. Putting anything that shouldn't be except air in your lungs is not a good thing. And so the tobacco settlement that they settled on is $25 billion, which all may seem like a really huge amount of money. However, tobacco itself causes about $170 billion in direct medical costs to you. That's you guys taking care of patients in your office, in the hospital, every single day, taking care of the heart attacks, taking care of the peripheral vascular disease, taking care of the COPD and respiratory failure, and the ARDS cases that come in. And then there's a separate $150 billion just in indirect costs with people who, you know, loss of work, loss of productivity, you know, not showing up for whatever they're supposed to be doing, and $270 or $300 billion a year just related to the tobacco industry, and they contribute $25 billion. Yeah, let's do a little, like, you know, basic math, 300 minus 25. There's a huge net negative to the healthcare costs that their tobacco industry is not contributing. And they're always saying, do we have money for healthcare? We have plenty of money for healthcare. If we got rid of tobacco, we'd have $300 billion to spend on other things that we don't, that we could spend on, you know, saving lives for doing other things and disease. Ah. Marijuana. Everybody loves marijuana, right? Marijuana is the panacea of everything. Again, hundreds of years of, like, trying to erase, like, and, like, avoid doing this. Inhaling marijuana is not a healthy thing. I'm sorry, I'm not, I know, there's, like, controversy. Whether it's medically important or not, I'm not going to get into that at this point. But 94 million people in America, 94 million Americans, or 40% of Americans aged 12 or older, have tried marijuana at least once. Now, we don't know the health effects of marijuana. We don't know what kind of like problems it causes with brain development in young children. So now you have it as a legal product, something that they can even put in these vaping tools. And there's 12-year-old kids out there who are using it. Now, using it maybe on a daily basis, maybe using it on a PRN basis. You know, so we won't know what their brain developments how they're going to be affected. Marijuana smoke contains the cannabinoid products. It may contain some other components for smoke. There are carcinogenic products in there, polycystic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are found in tobacco and marijuana. Both of those have led to cancer. You know, nobody's really studying this in the long term, so we don't really know specifically. But I'm sure, as physicians, we should advise our patients regarding the potential adverse health effects. And anything, again, like I said, that shouldn't be inhaled into your lungs other than oxygen shouldn't be inhaled. That's going to be my, like, end point. So now we have vaping and cigarettes. All right, so what is vaping? I mean, I don't know. I didn't really even know what vaping was before I started to do this. So the cool names, like, well, because you all think this looks really cool, right? I don't know. I think it looks kind of silly, but. And so these vaping devices were created I'll go over it in a few other slides, but like basically the whole point was like they were trying to market themselves as like an alternative to smoking, right? So most people think that vaping is just basically heating a liquid to a vapor. You know, you're inhaling water vapor, and then like, oh, so what's so wrong about inhaling water vapor, right? But like, you're not really inhaling just water vapor. So that's like a misnomer. So these things, they're called like electronic nicotine delivery devices. They use a battery and a liquid and a cartridge. The cartridge and the battery are heated. It's actually when the liquid is heated, it turns into a water, an aerosol, and not just a clean water vapor. The aerosol contains minerals. It can contain metals. It can contain other things with the vitamin E acetate, which I'll talk to you about later. And all of these things get heated, and you inhale all these things. So all these fine particles are getting into your lungs. So it's not just a water vapor. It's an aerosol, and the aerosol is contaminated, and it's like inhaling air pollution, and it's just like inhaling tobacco, cigarette. And just a fun fact, every product on the market that is like from the Juul, which is the most popular one, contains nicotine. So a lot of children who are in high school or younger, middle schoolers, things like that, believe that, oh, I'm just using this flavored water vapor. It's a lie. It's false marketing. Every product on the market in the United States and in the world that sells like the Juuling product for the e-vapors contain nicotine. And it's now the nicotine that's the content in these e-devices are not regulated in the United States. In Europe, there's a 2% maximum amount of nicotine that can be prescribed in those cartridges. In the United States, it's unregulated. Nobody knows how much nicotine there are in these cartridges. Nobody knows, like, you could be smoking like 10 of those. It could be like smoking 2 packs a day of the nicotine. And these e-cigarette companies figured out that the original, I would say like the previous brands of these e-cigarettes used to use a product that was very irritating. Like when you would smoke it, it would cause like a burn and it wouldn't be very pleasurable for the smokers. So what did they do? Just like back in the tobacco industry, they got a bunch of chemists. They figured out that they could make a nicotine salt. The nicotine salt is actually can deliver a higher content of nicotine in a smoother fashion, so it makes it more pleasurable for the person who's like inhaling the e-cigarettes. And they figured out that they could add flavors like watermelon and cotton candy and bubble gum. And oh, don't kids love these things? Oh, it's so great. It tastes so great just to keep you addicted to these products. How about here's another fun fact. Do you know who owns the Juuling company? What?
Tobacco
company. So the parent company of R.J. Reynolds, Olds Juul, which is the largest company that sells e-cigarettes here, and the British American Tobacco Company owns the largest European brand of Juuling. So do you think it's in their best interest to keep people addicted to nicotine? Absolutely. So I think I went over this. So in regular cigarettes, they have the same chemicals. We don't really know what chemicals are in the e-cigarettes, but there's no doubt there's definitely exposure to a lot of it. And then all of this, the rest of the presentation, I'm just going to focus on as of December in 2019, when there was a spike in cases, the CDC tracked that there were over 2,000 cases of vaping-related lung injury. And so we have about 54 confirmed deaths, which I'm going to go over, to electronic vaping acute lung injury. And how they got into this is that they figured out when they took, I'll go into more detail, but basically the people who were predominantly affected by this lung injury, they had vaping devices or used off the black market with these modified e-liquids, and it's mostly for the vaping products that people use with THC. And here's just some staggering statistics to see, you know, I mean, I guess it's all job security, right? I mean, like, I'm in pulmonary critical care medicine. I, of course, want to have, like, lots of patients to take care of. But, like, you know, as a responsible clinician and a healthcare practitioner, like, this is not exactly what you want to see. You don't want to see that in 2017, 11% of high school students use e-cigarettes, and now it's more than doubled. Now there's 27%. Not even 1% of middle schoolers. That's 12 and 13-year-olds. Now it's up to 11%. E-cigarettes... Also, they also, well, I'll show you in another slide, is supposed to say, oh, like, you know, people won't smoke cigarettes if they use e-cigarettes. That's not true. E-cigarettes have increased the likelihood of reverting back to using just tobacco products and also marijuana smoking. They have a survey every year, which I didn't even know that they do, but there's this 2019 National Youth Tobacco Survey. They sent out over 300 high schools all over the United States, and they found out that 12% of high school students are currently every single day vaping. That's now. Like, these kids are going to... They're 17, 18 years old. They're going to smoke throughout their adult lives and then have problems maybe even into like other diseases that we will see when they become into our world. And a majority of the youth still today do not even know that every single e-cigarette contains a nicotine product. I'm just going over more things about... Like what, because people don't know what like vaping is. So it means, like I told you before, the electronic device, it's the vapor, it's not just a gas. The battery, it's misleading, thinking that that there's no nicotine in it. Yeah, this is the one that they said that the e-cigarettes figured out that nicotine salt formula allows for a higher level and a more efficient delivery system of nicotine, which causes less irritation comparable to the older models. It feels better and obviously more addiction. Aren't they so smart? So what is vitamin E, right? So the vitamin E acetate. So the CDC, when they tracked these 54 cases from 2019, and they found that vitamin E acetate was the chemical that was the concern for causing the e-vaping acute lung injury. So this vitamin E acetate is a thickening agent. It's often used in the THC vaping products. It's found in all of the lung fluid samples that they took from BALs from these patients. The vitamin E is a... And the electronic cigarette product associated lung, these are the factors. Vitamin E was associated with all of them. Well, about 51% in the 16 states across the United States. So it's an additive, most notable in the tobacco cigarette products. It's found in foods too. So people thought like that originally, like why would vitamin E be, you know, something bad for you? It's in cereals, it's in meats and in fruits. But all of those things are dietary supplements that you ingest or put on your skin. So there's like no problem to put vitamin E on your skin or ingest it into your digestive system. However, when you inhale it, not so good. When you heat it, the e-cigarette, the e-acetate breaks up and it makes this ketene, and that's a reactive compound, and it's a potential lung irritant. And depending on the concentrations, which we don't know, what could be put into the e-cigarettes, and this is what they're concerned about, and this is what they found in the BAL fluid, and that's what caused the acute lung injury. Now, there's other things also. Some people have reported that there's this various other dilutants, diluents like that can be also used, and so like maybe in the future there'll be other things related to lung injury that we don't even know at this time. And obviously they're not regulated so by the FDA or anything like that. So this is just how they went through. So the New England Journal of Medicine basically published this article, and they're the ones that did all the work like to figure out. So I just kind of wanted to go through as an epidemiologic, well, I kind of like walk through about like how you would decide. So in 2019, there was a spike. They found out that they took in 2018, and in 2018, they looked in multiple states of various cartridges, and no vitamin E was found. In 2019, all of the vitamin E was found. So for some reason, they added it in 2019 into their products, and they don't know what happened. Then there was a spike in the cases of reported acute lung injury. Then they started tracking it using, like, you know, from epidemiologic things. And then they were taking, like, these are the definitions that they use to classify the cases, like about their confirmed cases or probable cases, like, use of e-cigarettes, the presence of pulmonary infiltrates, you know, from a, you know, respiratory, we were just finding people like who were coming in coughing, short of breath, and had pulmonary infiltrates and pneumonitis, and we didn't know what was the cause, right? So this is kind of going back and excluding other diagnoses. And then what they reported was the frequency of detection. So in these cases, in the e-vaping cases, 48 out of 51 over there, 94% of them had the e-acetate, whereas all the other cases who used e-cigarettes without them, cigarette smokers, as you can see, they're all zeros on all the other ones. So this is just like their tally and their numbers with the data that they showed in the article about how they located, how they were able to say that vitamin E was the bad guy in all of this. These are just the patients that they reported from the study. Just, you know, it just goes over the whole thing about, like, it's the same thing that we always think about, the variables the patients reported. Did they use vaping products? What kind of symptoms did they have? What was their medical history? What was their presentation? Basically, some were found unresponsive. This one was found on urgent care. Another one was found unresponsive. Were they admitted to an intensive care unit? 2 out of 3 here were. Did they need medical respiratory support with ventilation? 2 out of 3. What did we find on CT scan, pneumonitis? Were there any infections that could be isolated to have caused? What was the treatments that they gave? They all got steroids and antibiotics. What happened? Pretty much everybody lived in this presentation, and what was the discharge plan afterwards? So research suggests that vaping is bad for your heart and lungs also. Do you think yes or no? Yeah. So nicotine, going back, which is the regular, in regular cigarettes and in e-cigarettes, it's toxic. It causes your blood pressure to spike, increases your adrenaline, increases your heart rate, can increase you for having a heart attack. And actually, just to go back, people think that marijuana is such a benign thing. In 2019, they reported 242,000 ER or urgent care visits related to smoking marijuana. So it's not without health risks. People always, marijuana has been related to increase in asthma and COPD, exacerbations per se, and also like shortness of breath, coughing, you know, upper respiratory infections. So it's not without harm. And then is vaping bad for you? We don't know, but it's the same concept that goes over. You're putting something bad inside your lungs. Obviously, if you have asthma, obviously, if it has all these toxins and nicotine, it's going to cause you to have cardiovascular effects. Every product of the e-cigarettes also contain propylene glycol, which are humectants that are this main component of the e-liquid. I mean, ethylene, remember the mud piles. I mean, like, if you guys are going to be inhaling and, like, putting things that are acidotic or other things like causing like metabolic derangements, of course it's going to cause inflammation. I mean, it's just bad on 100 million different levels. And then these metals. So the metals that are in the liquid also, so tin, lead, nickel, chromium, manganese, arsenic, all of these stuff are found in e-cigarettes. And I found like also in the New England Journal of Medicine had just published in the first case of cobalt lung injury. So one person who was vaping an e-cigarette they found that had cobalt in it, which was this micro, over 6 months had developed severe lung injury, basically like hard metal pneumoconiosis, which we don't even see anymore. But they were like stunned that it was from the cobalt that the vapor was using. So diseases that we don't even see anymore, like that we just read about in textbooks, are going to come back and haunt us because of these new techniques that we have. We might even see arsenic, we might see lead injuries, we might see all these other. What are other bad effects? So I also found some other funny things that why e-cigarettes should be bad for you. So apparently you can get a vaping pen burn. And I actually just found that there's vaping pen explosion. So if you're a dentist, you should watch out. Like a couple of people have lost part of their teeth in their face from an exploding vaping pen. You could also get popcorn lung, which is bronchiolitis obliterans. So basically, like, this isn't, you know, classically it was from the microwave popcorn, but also has been seen in vaping, where it just basically destroys the small airways of the lung. This is what popcorn lung looks like, just for your edification. It's hard to see, but like small airways disease with areas of ground glass and small airways. This is what the electronic cigarettes try to tell us, that they're the best smoking cessation tool device, which is false. I mean, I even fell for it. Like, when they first came out, like, we were like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, you know, basically it should be better if you're only vaping nicotine, as we thought originally, that it would be safer than smoking the tobacco with all its other 7,000 toxic substances. So trying to help people to stop smoking. But now that we know that the vaping and the e-cigarettes contain nicotine that are at a higher concentration than their cigarettes, they're unlikely to stop smoking. They're unlikely to stop vaping, period, and also more likely to even go back to smoking their own cigarettes, and it doesn't help. And then we have this whole new generation of getting hooked on nicotine. So this is exactly what the tobacco companies want. They want to ensure a population that's addicted to their product so that they'll continue to use it, so they'll reap like millions of dollars in benefits, and we'll have all the health costs. In 2015, the U.S. Surgeon General reported that in the high schoolers, it was an increase of 900%. This is a tragedy. This is a true epidemic. And 40% of those people had never even smoked a regular cigarette. And these people are more likely to smoke cigarettes, so it's just this continuing cycle. And why do they do it? Of course, they believe that it's less harmful, which we know is not true, that they believe that there's actually a lower cost to it, and then finally because of the flavorings that they get hooked on these things. Two studies linked e-cigarettes also now to asthma and COPD, so we know that they're obviously going to cause other diseases in the future. And then this is just the going over what exactly happened in the, just as an epidemiologic walkthrough, it was just interesting to know how they got all the information and what they did. So in 2019, they found that there were all these 2,500 cases reported of patients with variety of, smoking. They were reported to have smoking-related e-vaping lung injuries. And in December 2019, they reported all these cases that were hospitalized and deaths. Then in January 2020, they had this total of 2,600 cases. They all were product use associated with e-cigarettes from 50 states in the United States, and then it just goes on. Then they had the documented 57 deaths in 27 states. Even Florida, we had some deaths, not here in this hospital, but they were here. And then this is how they claimed it as an epidemiologic outbreak. It peaked in September 2019, and other cases now. But however, since this time, the vaping lung injury has declined. Probably because now that they noted that the vitamin E acetate is the problem, that it has probably been taken out of some of these products. So then luckily, we don't see as many cases. The data reported that these 1,700 people were hospitalized. 54% of them had reported using these. 12% reported using the cannabinoid products. 40% had both nicotine and THC and CBD. This is just the data that shows minimal use, and then all of a sudden this spike. So obviously something changed. This doesn't mean that, so vitamin E, now we know that it was the reason that was causing all the lung injury. It's been probably modified or taken out, so now we see the decline. We haven't seen hardly any cases anymore, but this doesn't mean that this is not going to happen again. And this is just how they documented the spike in September, October. So what was the pathology for the associated lung? I mean, we just talked about, it's pneumonitis, but what happened? So when they did the autopsy of the 54 people who died, they basically showed diffuse alveolar damage. That's like macrophages containing lipids and granular foreign body material in the alveoli. There was neutrophils and eosinophils that were present there. Other pathologic findings that are also attributed to vaping, there's eosinophilic. So anything with an acute toxic lung injury or acute toxic inhalation has been associated with nicotine, carbanols, volatile organic substances, trace metals, and even bacteria, endotoxins. So the pneumonitis that they found, of course, the most was the diffuse lung injury or diffuse alveolar damage. But you could also have acute eosinophilic pneumonia, just plain up ARDS, organizing pneumonia. Lipoid pneumonia has also been associated with lung vaping. Diffuse alveolar hemorrhage has been associated. And then a rare giant cell idiopathic interstitial pneumonitis. We've actually seen lipoid pneumonia here. We've seen probably hypersensitivity, I would think, here, which is just basically immune response. And then I think the diffuse alveolar damage is another one that we've seen here, too. So what, you know, from just from the med students who are out there and residents and stuff like that. So, you know, you see a patient who comes in, they're in their 20s, 30s, even 40s. They, you know, you ask them their general history. Have you been smoking? Have you been doing e-cigarettes? You know, they have an x-ray or a CAT scan and it looks like any one of these. You know, so now you're thinking ARDS, pneumonitis, inflammation. This is what it looks like on pathology for the diffuse alveolar damage. Organizing pneumonia is also a really common presentation, just basic defined histopathologically by intraalveolar granulation tissue consisting of microfibroblasts and connective tissue. This will be like a board question, so you guys, just so you people are studying. And then, like, just in general, I mean, because that's pretty much there is on vaping. I mean, does anybody have any questions or concerns or want to, like, shout out anything? Right. So then, you know, so what the CDC and like what the American Health, you know, and what ATS and CDC and like all we all recommend is the same thing, like using like time honored things that have shown to work. So it's like nicotine patches. You can use Chantix. You can use Wellbutrin. You know, hypnosis. Like using things that like go back to like traditional ways of like helping people quit smoking. There's like no other magic to like helping them break the nicotine habit.
You mentioned that in Europe, the e-cigarettes, the nicotine content was limited to 2%.
Mm-hmm.
How does that compare to like a regular cigarette, the nicotine content of a regular cigarette, any idea? Just
yeah, so the 2%, they say that it's less than two cigarettes. So we don't know the concentration that is in the American versions of this, and then they can say it could be upwards up to more than a pack of cigarettes a day in one vaping cartridge. So I don't know why we don't find it important to limit that, but I just like, you know, so that was pretty much the rest of the presentation. I just kind of like for most of the students, you know, like what else to talk about? Like, you know, so, you know, when you have patients who come in with diffuse parenchymal lung disease, you know, it's very confusing because there's like a lot of diseases that are basically associated with that, as you can see here. There's like a huge differential diagnosis. I had done this presentation originally just to look at like IPF in general as like a specific presentation to separate. But as you can see, is if you're non-idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, there's like all of these acute lung injuries, diffuse parenchymal lung diseases that you can find. So, you know, just for edification, again, you know, you have a patient who comes in, you don't know what they have. I mean, you may suspect that, you know, it's very rare to have the electronic vaping lung acute lung injury, but, you know, it's in the differential. But, like, when you do see it, you know, what else do you think of? Sarcoid, you know, hypersensitivity, connective tissue diseases, idiopathic, other drugs that are more common, like, you know, you can have the same presentation for acute amyotoxicity. It could be the same presentation for Keytruda-associated acute pneumonitis. It could be, you know, any one of our systemic vasculitis diseases or other things, just to think about in your mind and how you think about the organization of, like, what you see when you see patients that are coming in an acute lung injury and shortness of breath or hypoxic respiratory failure. And then just, like, known exposures. There's a lot of them. How they make the diagnosis. Basically, in all of the cases that they made the diagnosis of the electronic vaping, they all got BALs. Not everybody who has an acute lung injury gets a BAL, but like by you know, standard, you know, that would be helpful. If you have somebody who has a known, you know, basically has like diffuse parenchymal lung disease, probably most of the patients should get a biopsy in order to do a definitive diagnosis. These are the other types of things that we can order, like they would have normally abnormal PFTs if we could do so, but, you know, not if they're like an acute respiratory failure in an ICU, but if they come to you in your office. You have CAT scan imaging, usually consistent with the diffuse parenchymal lung disease pattern. You have your bronchoscopy pattern, you know, where would the, what would you do? You have lymph nodes, you could have eosinophils in the BAL, you could have neutrophil predominant types, then you do the lung biopsy, and you could have that with the histopathology to help you make a diagnosis of what the diffuse lung injury would be. And then how do you treat? So there was no treatment, really, right? So, like, all the patients who either died or the other ones got steroids and antibiotics and then got better. So we don't really have any treatment for diffuse lung injury other than if we know what the cause is and it's, like, maybe something specific. We usually treat with steroids and hope. We can add on immunosuppressive agents and pray and hope. If they get really sick, ECMO and then maybe a lung transplant. And then most of the other time, some of them have died. And that's it. Study pulmonary medicine because it's great. Thank you.